You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is LBC with Matt Fry. Call 0345 6060973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850.
We're talking Trump versus Biden. We're talking the conventions, the weird conventions in this COVID year and whether they matter. Let's go to Simon Marks, the LBC's Washington correspondent. Good morning. Very good morning, Simon.
Good morning. Very good morning to you too, Matt.
So how weird has it been this week? I have to say, I was slightly taken aback seeing Kamala Harris and Joe Biden almost sort of slink onto the stage wearing their rather forbidding black masks. And then someone told Trump, apparently, that he looked really mean in a black mask, and apparently he really liked it and started wearing it as a result. That's probably a joke.
They were all, when Trump first wore that mask, all of his senior aides all immediately took to social media while he was wearing it to assure the boss that he looked absolutely fantastic in it. It was a marvellous moment of sycophancy. Look, it's been weird, and it's been so different that it's almost hard to think of this as a convention. I think this was the week when America met the party political broadcast, because there was no opportunity for any of us, as you and I would traditionally have done, to be in the arena, grab the delegates, ask them what they thought, explore the tensions that existed behind the scene. Every night for four nights, 2 hours of untrammeled party political propaganda with absolutely no tension.
Right, in many cases.
Lots of it, much of it recorded. I mean, for the first time ever, the convention, quote unquote, actually ran to time. And I think that that has an impact. And the impact is, if you look at the numbers, they're down. The ratings for the Democrat convention this week was 20% down overall over 4 years ago. That's a potential problem for Joe Biden. Mm. Let's see what happens with the Republicans next week. But secondly, you know, to go back to the point that you were just making with your last two guests, it's very hard in that kind of a context for these political parties to do two things simultaneously. One, to preach to the choir, and two, to reach out and try and bring floating voters over to their side. And you saw that specifically play out on Thursday night. Joe Biden's speech, which was sweeping, it was deliciously crisp, 24 minutes. It was woefully short of specifics, but in grand sort of overview, portrayed a sense that this was the man who, shepherd-like, is ready to lead America into the light and away from the government headed by the Prince of Darkness. He came onto the stage to assure people that he was going to be the president for all Americans. And yet, in the 90 minutes leading up to his speech, there had been all sorts of moments, many of them hosted by Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld and Veep, in which she was yucking it up and poking fun at Mike Pence and Donald Trump in this real polemicist kind of comedy. I mean, you had to be in the tent to find it vaguely funny. And honestly, if you were in the tent, it wasn't that funny either. And there's a problem with that, because on the one hand, you're saying to people, come on in, the water's lovely, you'll really enjoy it. And on the other hand, you can see people in the middle of the country who, in many cases, probably weren't even watching anyway, but had they been, kind of recoiling from the Democrats sort of yucking it up behind the scenes about the moronic nature of Donald Trump's government. So I think the whole concept of these sort of all virtual events, flawless technically, though last week was, is problematic. And those people here in Washington that are saying, right, we have now witnessed the end of the in-person big arena convention, they are writing its obituary far too early.
Indeed. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, one of the most powerful speeches was given by Barack Obama, the former president, where he really laid into Donald Trump by name and more or less called him a cheat and a liar and the death of democracy should he be re-elected. We know that Obama's interjections, you know, in campaigns can misfire, as he, you know, they did when he came to Britain just before the Brexit vote. And he told us we'd be at the back of the line if we voted to leave the European Union for a new trade deal with America. Did he do the right thing? I mean, from a strategist's point of view, was the Obama speech the right way to go here, or could it backfire?
Well, he did the right thing from the viewpoint of Democrats, some of whom wished that he'd done it a long time ago. This is Barack Obama completely breaking with tradition, becoming the first president of the modern era openly to attack his successor, and not just to attack him, but to absolutely savage him. He flayed Donald Trump during the course of that speech, expressing and evincing much of the simmering fury that he's clearly been feeling over the course of the last 4 years. I mean, there were points during that speech where you thought he's going to blow, you know, and he just about held it below the surface. Again, if your task is to energize Democrats about the Biden-Harris ticket, it absolutely worked. If you go on social media, the Democrats are swooning over the success of this convention, much in the way, Matt, that they were swooning over what they perceived to be the success of Hillary Clinton's convention, like this one, a convention that demonstrated the multicultural, the tolerance, the all-inclusive nature of their very large tent. But did it change a single mind outside core Democrat groups and core Democrat areas? Did it persuade people to cross the aisle? Do people like Governor John Kasich, Colin Powell, even that 95-year-old World War II veteran who on the final night of the convention said, I've been voting Republican since the 60s, I voted for Donald Trump, this is going to be the first time round that I vote for the Democrats because he's done such a dreadful job. Does that bring swing voters across? Because if it doesn't, you've spent four nights ginning up your base, but you haven't done much more than that.
The 538 website, which is famously accurate, in 2016 had Hillary Clinton at roughly 70%, I think just below 70, and Donald Trump at roughly 20%, just above 20%. They've now got the same sort of numbers, give or to a few points, for both Joe Biden massively in the lead and Donald Trump when it comes to the likelihood of winning the election. We know how it turned out in 2016. Right. So is it possible that the same thing will happen again this time?
Well, I mean, you voiced at the time the sort of the head heart imbalance, didn't you? You know, your heart was telling you that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Which way around was it?
Heart for Trump, head for Hillary.
That's right. Well, I mean, I think that the head heart thing exists now.
So what does your heart tell you at the moment? What does your gut tell you, Simon Marks?
Well, your gut tells you, how can he possibly win re-election? Yeah. How can he possibly pull this off? I mean, your Republican guest was just saying you can ignore everything else he said if at the course of this convention he makes a speech that tells Americans that he's for all of them, not just a narrow sliver of them. Who on earth is going to buy that? Yeah. But the flip side of that coin is that 41% of Americans were telling opinion pollsters last week that they were backing Donald Trump, and they were definite Donald Trump voters, definite Republican participants in this election campaign. The other issue that you can't overlook, you know, Hillary Clinton reminded Democrats she won the popular vote by 3 million votes nearly. She lost the election. Yeah. Is there an enthusiasm gap, as Donald Trump maintains, between low-level enthusiasm for Joe Biden among Democrats, high-level enthusiasm for Donald Trump among the Republican side? Will there be dirty tricks? We know that unless this is a Democrat landslide, Donald Trump is going to litigate every single postal vote from Florida to Alaska in a bid to suggest, as he keeps saying on the campaign trail, that this election is rigged, it's flawed, it's the Democrats are stealing it. We're in for weeks and months of ugliness, and the outcome, I think, is highly uncertain.
Indeed. And the nightmare would be a narrow Joe Biden win in the Electoral College, a narrow win, and obviously a massive one in the popular vote, but that would be disputed by Donald Trump. Just very quickly, listen, 10 seconds, Steve Bannon getting arrested, big deal, not big deal?
Oh, very big deal. Well, very big deal here in Washington, D.C., as you can imagine. I think it's a problem for Donald Trump. I mean, it just, again, illustrates the essential grubbiness and corruption that has existed inside his inner circle and then among people like Mr. Bannon, allegedly outside it once they leave. So, and the drumbeat of that Steve Bannon arrest is going to be percussively accompanying the election campaign all the way to November.
I love the way you say percussively at 5 o'clock in the morning. You're a genius. Simon Marks, our correspondent in Washington, thank you very much indeed.